This episode of the New Christendom Daily is taken from a live radio broadcast. There's no scripts. There's no do-overs. There's no cuts. It's just from a live radio show done by a guy with a microphone and a set of earbuds and a radio show who pours his heart, his mind, and his body and soul into one thing, bringing about the New Christendom Daily.
Have you been post-corona doom?
Happier anyway that the panic has at least more or less subsided, except for occasional attempts to revivify it. These will go on for another year or two, I imagine.
But as you were the famed celebrity and a statistician to the stars, there's no statistical basis for this.
None. There was none. I mean, it was pure panic. We get plagues all the time, especially flu. I pointed this out hundreds of times, but in 1957-58, we had the Asian flu, which killed millions of people around the world. Proportionally more at the fewer than half the number of people alive back then. So it killed proportionally more than the COVID bug did. And there was no panic. People don't even remember. And a decade after, there was another plague, and it killed maybe just about as many more. Again, no panic. Nobody remembers. But for this one, we panicked. And for every other safety, cult of safety first thing, we're going to try to panic about everything. We try to panic about global warming. We try to panic about swine flu. We try to panic about absolutely every disease. Now we're going to panic about AI. We're going to panic about everything, because that's the natural mode of us, I think, nowadays.
Yeah, but the people that have panicked, though, haven't proven their case. And statistically speaking, you look at the incidence of people that are sick, the VAERS systems are reporting this. You look at the incidence of people that are sick, the statistics are now actually going in the opposite direction, away from them, because for the first time since when forever, the number of children vaccinated last year was less than it was the previous year.
Sure. And that's because of their idiocy. They pushed that vax, the COVID vax, with so many obvious lies, outright lies. You had Rochelle Walensky, the head of the CDC, a physician herself and someone who should know better, absolutely lying through her teeth that if you got the COVID vax, you could not become infected or pass on the bug to others. That was a blatant, outright, idiotic lie. Everybody could see it was a lie. And they claimed there was no possibility of any kind of side effect or anything, which would have been the first drug in history if that were true. And so people naturally became suspicious of everything these expert doctors are telling them, especially with the hysteria over get vaccinated, get boosted, get your fifth booster, seventh booster, whatever. I don't even know what number they're up to now.
Six.
It's insanity.
But it's even worse than that, because again, the statistical case that they were not able to prove. I went back and I was looking because here in Louisiana, we just had to talk about a statistical anomaly. All statewide offices went Republican. Jeff Landry won 65-35. The runoff Saturday were 68-32, 67-33, and 68-32. That's for the four major statewide offices, or the five major. That doesn't happen. You know, the Democrat Party used to have a foothold here. That is a complete and total anomaly. Statistically speaking, then, what happened? Well, I can tell you what happened. The people of this state, a tourism state, remembered what the Democrat governor did to them, and that his party backed him up and his judges backed him up. And when they got the chance to go like, that's never going to happen again, and we're not even going to give you the chance, the people of Louisiana went and to the curb the entirety of the Democrat Party. It lay in a smoldering pile of rubble in LaToya the Destroyer's New Orleans.
Let's hope that phenomena is duplicated across the states next year in the major election.
Well, don't leave it up to the
one
stupid
can hope.
Party.
I don't necessarily believe it, but one can hope. The memories are all too short, I think. That's a problem, too.
Well, don't leave it up to the stupid party for that.
No.
To
God, no.
Oh, there's so much that we need to catch up on. Your statistics on the amount of murders that are committed by black men, primarily. You just looked at the numbers and went like, guys, this is what the numbers say. The libtard left is married to this idea that there were a bunch of homicidal white guys running around the country that are murdering everyone that they come in contact with. Yet, statistically speaking, in people's real world experience, that this is just not the case. It's the exact opposite.
This isn't my data, by the way. This is the FBI's data.
Right.
It's sort of well known among anybody who cares to look it up. It doesn't take long. I mean, you can type it in, FBI crime statistics, and boom, boom, boom. You know, 3 or 4 minutes later, you have everything at your fingertips. All I did was to plot it and to wonder what happened to some of these uncategorized murders that they don't have racial stats for and things like this. But it's a long-running trend. It's for decades now. Blacks commit about, you know, it varies from year to year, but it's about 10 times as many violent criminal acts, including murder, than whites. And that gap only grows. I mean, depending on how you count, blacks by themselves, which are about 13% of the population, 12.5 to 13, nobody knows the exact percentage because of the number of people who break the law to come into the country. So we don't know the exact number, but, For being only 13% of the population or so, they commit about half the murders.
That number's shocking.
Mostly it's black on black crime, but the next biggest is black on white murders. And coming up in the very rear is white on black murders. So that whenever that does happen, it's like a man bites dog story, and the media trumpets it. But when there's an almost daily occurrence of the other, when a black murders a white, they can't always hush it up. They try to ignore it as best they can, or they say something stupid like man dies in a traffic accident, like what happened out in Las Vegas or something, and try to you know, calm people down with it. So, but this irrational guilt that people have over you know, historical treatment of blacks and so forth, it leads to this incessant pandering. This pandering everywhere, you know, awarding blacks positions because they're black instead of on merit, which does nobody any good. And then the pandering leads to bad behavior because the cops, of course, pull back. They don't want to get themselves in difficulties by trying to arrest people who are causing a commotion.
Right.
And be called racist and so forth. And so that just leads to this increase in crime and murder. And like I say, most of the crimes are black on black crimes. And none of that's going to go away until you acknowledge that this is happening and stop all these ridiculous so-called solutions, which just exacerbate the problem, makes everything worse.
But you know, Briggs, the thing is, these are the people that lecture us and say, follow science! Science is everything! Your Substack is... What is your Substack called?
W.M. Briggs. Oh, yeah, science is not the answer.
Science is not the answer. But wait a minute, science has to be the answer, Briggs! It's the
science
answer to everything!
Science is never there. Science can't tell you right from wrong. Science can't tell you good from bad, moral from immoral. Science can't tell you what to do. That's a decision that's beyond science. You could use science to, and only use science, to try to quantify the uncertainty you have in some question you put to it. That's it. Science doesn't even tell you what questions to put to it. And so when they have told you they want you to follow the science, they've already decided what is good and what is bad, what is right and what is wrong. And they try to mask their opinion with science by claiming you can't possibly question science. Right. Of course you can question science. Scientists are wrong. Not, I mean, all the time. The majority of scientific results are just flat out wrong. And most are over certain on top of that. There's no question about this. And so there's no reason that one should ever follow the science. That always means when someone says that, when they say follow the science, they always mean follow me.
That's right. Follow Fauci. Wait a minute. I am the science. If you're looking for the science when it comes to flus, I am the science. That's me. And I have to have the special effect. Briggs, W.M. Briggs on Substack and W.M. Briggs on Twitter. Famed celebrity if you're looking for him. And the man who thinks that the movie Zulu is the greatest film ever made.
It's one of them. It's right up there. It shows you, if you haven't seen the movie, you must. It's available pretty much everywhere.
All right.
It shows you what a small, dedicated, disciplined group of men can do in the face of absolutely overwhelming odds.
We were talking about it with our English hostess, Fiorella Nash, this morning, because she started, I can't remember how Michael Caine came up. She goes, oh, but Michael Caine is one of my favorite movies, Zulu. I said, my friend, W.M. Briggs, that's his profile picture on Twitter, is from the movie Zulu.
There's another thing right there. Michael Caine starts out as this effete expert officer who learns his lesson in the course of the film and learns to respect true manliness, true authority by the end of it. And so his story is also very important for us these days.
Well, I'll have some time this weekend. I'm going to watch Zulu. That's your weekend viewing assignment, ladies and gentlemen, is to watch Zulu. Now, let's get back to the business of science and science serving and solving things. There used to be this thing called the scientific method. And it used to be that someone would make this thing called a hypothesis. And then they go, yeah, but I wonder if there's a way to, you know, make pieces of iron float, for example. So, well, but iron sinks. If you take a piece of flat iron and throw it in the water, it sinks to the bottom of the sea, right? So man goes like, well, iron won't float. It's not wood. You can't build ships out of iron. Well, yes, you can. You just have to use science to figure out how to displace the water, right? So that there's more above that's not displaced than there is below. And the same thing with flight. People are, if you don't know anything about science because they stopped teaching this about 30 years ago in schools, you can call it lift or you can call it push, but basically all flight is all you need is a wing, and on one side it's curved, right? On the other side, it's less curved. The air goes faster over this side to get to the other side. It creates a vacuum, negative force on the bottom side of the wing. And boom, if you know how a plane actually works, you won't be afraid of flying. They'd have to try and crash it, right? If you know the science of air flight and planes, you literally, a mechanical failure or human error is the only way a plane's actually going to lose lift.
Those are the majority of causes nowadays. I read the stats of those. Human error is the biggest.
But it won't be because you lost...
As we increase our diversity, inclusion, and equity, DIE efforts are going to be more likely.
Which won't have any effect on lift or on push.
One hopes. But the problem is you could press the wrong button.
You could turn the wing the wrong way. But did you see the story about the Marine plane that crashed in Hawaii yesterday?
Oh, yeah. What's funny about that, yes, a surveillance plane... overshot the runway and went into the drink. And what I thought was most amusing about it was that it was a surveillance plane. They could not see it coming. That's our military for you these days.
Okay, let's switch to presidential politics. You had a Substack a while ago about how... are you saying to me that you think that Gavin Gruesome Newsom is going to replace Biden? The chorus...
I do. I think so. I mean, they can't... this is all... pure, you know, speculation.
Not science.
I don't know any of this. Okay. I just think that it's plausible. I mean, everybody could see the deterioration of Biden, which started well before he became president when they installed him. And so there's no way they would risk putting him back in again for two reasons. One, just because he's senile. And another is because they would cart along Kamala Harris unless they could find a way to dump her. And nobody wants her. And of course, he would probably expire in office. And nobody in the world wants to see her president. So they have to get rid of him somehow. And they're paving the way along all kinds of dimensions to, you know, I think to put Gruesome Newsom in his place. But they have to do it in such a way that to discourage all other challengers so that they're going to. They don't want a convention, for instance, in which there's any kind of dispute or they go to the polls in Iowa and New Hampshire and all this kind of a thing. So they have to have Biden announce his retirement due to illness or health or something. I don't know what concoction they'll come up with. They will come up with something. And then Gavin Newsom will be the nominee by default after that. They'll put him in place. And you know, they fortified the 2020 elections. Although Argentina just showed us that you can win even in the face of fortification, but it has to be so overwhelming that if they really want to steal the election, they have to cheat so openly, so widely, and so obviously that no one would ever trust them again, which might be the case. There was, what's this Economist headline we saw the other day, that Trump is the worst thing in the world in 2024, or there's nothing scarier than Trump in 2024, some apocalyptic headline right. Like that. So they're definitely scared of him. So they're going to do their best to take him out one way or the other. So that's why I think that Newsom would most likely be the next president.
But isn't Hillary out there? I mean, Hillary's making the circuit. She seems to me she's on TV as much as gruesome Newsom is.
That's true, but I think their power are diminishing. I mean, they're getting older themselves, the Clintons, and I don't think that anybody wants to see Hillary as president, even her so-called friends. I mean, they play real hardball, true hardball, and so they might, you know, be friendly with her, but they're not going to be friendly for her when the time comes.
William Briggs, W.M. Briggs on our Dude Maker hotline here. I'm just scrolling through the Substack here because there's so much that you comment like, what are you up to now, 60 tweets a day?
I don't know. I do it during coffee and then during cocktails, you know, so you get varying quality. So, try to keep up there in the middle of the day.
So you get the caffeinated version in the evening, and then you get the suppression.
Exactly.
You get the soothing, the spirit version in the evening. I like it. It's a great combo. The statistics of stopping power. So what is this all about, the statistics of stopping power?
Oh, that was just
power.
For fun. It's just Thanksgiving week. I wanted to have, you know, we can't always talk about gloom and doom and so forth. So I just wanted to do some fun stats and everything. Turns out people have collected this data to look at what does it take to stop a threat? And you're armed and the threat's coming at you. What do you have to do? What's the best weapon that you could have? And what's if you have a firearm of some kind, what's the best caliber? And it turns out, probably to no surprise, that shotguns went out in most categories. And the most popular cartridge in the world is a 9mm. A lot of people carry 9mm. I do. But they do the poorest.
Oh.
Everything else. So there's explanations for this. And the only reason for it is because these are just gross overall average statistics. Like most research shows that you hear about. And I wanted people to use this kind of thing, which they might know a lot about, to distrust any kind of research shows or new research shows, new science shows, something like this, to not believe those headlines automatically, because you can't trust the experts who put those sorts of things off, because there's all sorts of conditions and qualifications and caveats and all this kind of a thing that attend to any study that you hear about. That you don't think about when you're not you don't have some familiarity with it, but you should therefore always doubt. That's the whole point about this stopping power thing. Not per se what you should carry or.
You're watching a football game, for example, these days, and you can't watch this maddening collection of people that have the most insignificant statistics that man could ever devise. Did you know that on second down, he leads the league in rushing yards on second down? I'm like, that's not a real thing. You just made that up. you just figured out a way. Hey, let's take this number here and this number here, and let's average the two together. Let's get a per game or whatever, and then we're going to present this as just some sort of a revelation. They're going to watch out for this guy because on second down he's 1/10 of a yard better than the other guy. This is madness.
They haven't learned the beauty of silence. There's this YouTube channel called Classic Baseball on Radio.
Oh.
And that's all it is. Old radio shows people have recorded from long ago, 60s and the 70s. And I like to listen to the old Ernie Harwell. He was a Detroit Tiger broadcaster. And him and Paul Carey would sit in that booth, and there would be long stretches of time where you heard nothing but just the crowd noise and things like this. Then they'd come on and they'd say a few things, you know, make the call of the play, and then they'd be silent again. It's such a difference. from what we have now. There's this nonstop hyper. They all sound like Ben Shapiro. They got to get 100 words when they should be getting 50, and none of them make any difference. Yeah, I can't take it either.
No, it's the worst. I think football is the worst. Okay, the play-by-play guy tells you, okay, well, there he is. He's under center now. No, he's back in a shotgun. Snap, he has the ball, hands it off to Kamara. Kamara on the left side, 3 yards, tackle made by number 64. Okay, that's it. And then the other guy has to come on and go, well, what happened here? There was a crackback block here, and you see this guy over here. You know, this was all started by, innocently enough, by John Madden. All Madden's fault. Madden is responsible for all of this. Because he's the one that came
on. Supposed to show you. That's like watching Fred Astaire dance. You think, oh, anybody could do that. He makes it look so easy. And John Madden made it look so easy. So everybody thinks they could be the next John Madden.
But Madden was the one. Okay, Pat, because he came on with Pat Summerall after his coaching days. Well, what happened here? We say, this guy comes back and crack and boom. And then there was, you know, but Madden had a little flair to it. What Madden did was kind of fun. What these guys do is like shot up. I just want to hit mute and listen to the game.
And all those statistics, they're all trying to find, this is just like science. We can tie it all back to be pedantic about it, but they're trying to find these things and act as if they're causative in some way, that you've identified this new cause. Aha, now this is important. When, of course, as you said, almost all of these things are pure fluff. They don't mean anything. They're just coincidences.
Yeah, like in off years when the Republicans have run black candidates, and there have, and the average temperature was 41 degrees.
Yeah,
statistics
exactly.
Show.
Meaningless.
Meaningless. Okay, final question here for W.M. Briggs, and we could carry this on for a long time. But I thought one of the best pieces that you have written this entire year is men do not fight for the regime. I read the whole thing, start to finish, to your credit, on air. Gave you all the credit. Said you were even more handsome in my eyes now for writing that. And I thought that you said exactly what needs to be said. These men don't, especially parents, don't fall for this.
Yeah, you don't need to go and fight and die for people who hate you. They openly despise you. They tell you this everywhere you go. They despise your whiteness. They despise your white supremacy. They want to correct all of your views on guns and God. And what was it that Obama said? Clinging to their Bible and their guns or something like this.
Right.
They all this, but of course now they need foot soldiers. They need you to go and fight their little wars here and there and die for them, because they certainly won't do it for themselves. Now, I understand that men naturally want to form, they want to fight, they're aggressive, they want to belong to these militaristic societies, but there's no point at which it will ever do you any good. Being, having military service nowadays brings you nothing. You'll get nothing for it. The propaganda has increased to get people to try to come in, but you'll be vaxxed against your will if you don't want to be vaccinated. You'll have to do that. You'll have to attend all these sensitivity trainings and have to get along. And this is the exact opposite of military behavior, but you'll be part of all of that. And then when they're done with you, they'll discard you.
Well,
and then what?
Well, no.
You have gained nothing for this. You've gained nothing for your own people, and you've gained something possibly for the people in charge of us. And you've seen them commit one blunder after another. What makes you think that they won't be doing the same for you?
Well, that's exactly that's exactly the point. But not only that, will you not get? Here's what you will get in return. You'll get to be the star of a Sean Hannity Wounded War Hero commercial. You'll get to hang out with a Rip from Yellowstone and show your severed arm that you used to have before you went and fought in Bush's war in Iraq and aided and assisted in the killing of 500,000 Iraqis who didn't want to have anything to do with any of this. They were just hanging around, and all of a sudden this guy starts going on TV going, I got weapons of mass destruction, and the Iraqis are going like, no, we don't. You know, it's an amazing thing. And you, because you're a classic movie guy, and you could talk about this, you know this. If you go back into the, okay, Crosby and Hope, Road to insert Middle Eastern country here. Bob Hope wasn't a fan. wasn't afraid of the Middle East. They went over there and made movies. Or they made movies about being Road to Morocco. Road
Good one, too.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, you look at pictures of women, the way they dressed in the 1950s and 60s and 70s in the Middle East, and you go like, oh, is that from L.A.? No, that is from Tehran. That is from Baghdad. We created this.
You have to remember, too, as part of all this, the people in charge of us, because they want to control the empire, have the lie of the weapons of mass destruction, which they knew was a lie, and they pushed it to get people juiced in the war. We have engaged in ourselves, our country, false flags. And now this sounds like a conspiracy theory. It always sounds, oh, what is this guy talking about? I urge you to read a book by John Mearsheimer, a professor, Why Leaders Lie. My leaders lie. He, you know, the Maine that started the Spanish-American War. You know, remember the Maine, that was a false flag. The Tonkin Gulf incident, that was a false flag. The USS Greer, which FDR touted to try to juice support for World War II. You know, all of this stuff they do. They're absolutely shameless in promoting any kind of thing that is propagandist that will help them push the need for these wars. But you can't fall for it. The best thing you could do, listen to guys like Mike Church, everybody here. Don't listen to the mainstream media, whether it's Fox News or MSNBC or ABC or any of those. Turn them all off. Don't listen to any of them, because they're all on the same book. They all use the same line. They all have the same discussions, creating these false dichotomies on one side or the other of these issues they actually share together. Just turn it all off.
I played for the audience the most amazing clip earlier today from 1991. Jim Lehrer of the McNeil Lehrer NewsHour on National Communist TV. Lehrer, he was probably a Jewish guy, Lehrer, Jim Lehrer. But there is Lehrer bringing his old friend Pat Buchanan in there. And this is when William F. Buckley and all the conservative establishment was going after Buchanan, calling him an anti-Semite, because he said that Congress was Israeli-occupied territory. And they all demanded his resignation. Buckley did a whole episode, whole issue of National Review in search of anti-Semitism. And then, you know, I found this clip, and I played all 3 minutes of it this morning of him talking to McNeil or to Lehrer. And he's going like, I will not take it back because it's true. And I will not denounce it. And if Patrick J. Buchanan wants to denounce the Greek lobby, I will. If I want to denounce the, you know, he goes down the list of lobbies. And he goes, this is just un-American, what they're trying to do to me. And they're going to try to, and if we allow this to happen, then they're going to do it to all of us. Buchanan was basically predicting the future.
Yeah, he got it. He nailed it. That's another Mearsheimer book, as long as we're talking Mearsheimer, The Israeli Lobby. I think that's the exact title. Maybe I'm wrong about a word or two, but it's extreme. I mean, AIPAC and everything, these are an extremely well-known lobby. I mean, people are allowed to lobby the government. That's what they do. And these guys are extraordinarily effective in getting the government to take their side in things, and they spend their money very well. But it's no question that it's large and powerful and influential. And if you say that, you can't then be accused of some asinine crime, thought crime, because of it. It's just an absolute fact. It is. I mean, they're good at it, and the other groups are not as good at it. Simple as that.
Well, you know, again, I despise the ground that Rashida Tlaib walks on.